Good morning once again to you, and please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. The book of Joshua and chapter 1. The book of Joshua and chapter 1, and we're going to be looking this morning at verses 10 through to 18, okay? But we're going to read the whole of the chapter so that we have the context this morning. And the title for this morning's message is Follow the Leader. Okay? And so this morning we're going to read all of the chapter, and we actually looked at the first half of the chapter several weeks back. Okay, and I felt like we should finish off the chapter, and then as I was reading through the remainder of the chapter and on a little bit further into the book, I began to think that perhaps we might even continue a little bit through the book of Joshua and continue a bit of a series in the book. We'll see whether the Lord will allow us to do that, whether we will continue in that direction. But at this point in time, that's what it looks like we'll probably do. So stay tuned. But for now, I'd at least like to finish off chapter 1. So the theme for this morning is that we need people who are willing to lead and others who will get behind the leadership. Okay? And so the title again is Follow the Leader. All right, Joshua chapter 1. And we pick up in verse 1 and read, Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And now our text verses for this morning. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. All right, let's open up this morning's service, or the message this morning, I should say, in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you now for your blessing upon this time of study and devotion in your word. Father, we do pray that you would use this passage before us this morning to encourage our hearts and to strengthen our hearts. Father, we pray that you might, by your Holy Spirit, draw us together as one people, as one body here in Christ, and unite us in the work that we have to do, the work of the distribution of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this local area. And Father, we pray that as you draw our hearts together and we are united, that we would grow in love and service one toward another, and that there would be a sweet spirit of cooperation and unity here in this church. And we pray and ask it in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned several weeks back, we actually looked at verses 1 to 9 under the message title, Go Forward for God. And we looked at how Moses had died in the wilderness. God had said that Moses would not be able to enter into Canaan, into the promised land. And so Moses died in the wilderness, and God hid the body of Moses. And then God commanded Joshua, saying, Moses is dead, go forward. And so that was the title we took, really, was Go Forward for God. And God promised that he would be with Joshua, and that the Israel would be able to enter the land under Joshua's leadership. And so we looked at the fact that although the human leadership in Israel had changed, the God of Israel had not changed. Okay, and that's very important. When leadership changes on an earthly scale, that does not mean that God has changed or that his purposes have changed, but that God is using different people in his overall plan, as it were. So today we pick up where we left off in verse 10 as we look at Israel's response to the new leadership. Okay, so again, the God of Israel is the same, but they have new leadership, new human leadership, and how would they respond to this? Well, firstly, we look at Joshua as the new leader, and what actions he takes at the command of God. In verse 10, it says, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So Joshua is immediately going to go forward in the command that God had given him. God had said to Joshua, you go forward, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, have good courage, be strong and go forward. And Joshua immediately says, all right, pay attention. I want all of the officers of the people, I want you to go through your tribes and let them know we're moving out, we're going forward. We're going to cross over this Jordan in 3 days' time and enter the land of promise. All right, so he was ready to obey the command of God and go forward as God had commanded him to. So now Joshua has become the leader of Israel, but more than that, he's the leader of an army. Okay, and that's what's going to be in focus here is the men of war who are going to go forward into the land, the mighty men who are going to fight, okay? But he's the leader of an army. He's taken charge of the people, and Joshua had all the authority that he needed for taking on this momentous task because he had the authority of God in the matter. That's very important. When God commands you to go forward in any given area, you have all the authority you need to go forward. It doesn't matter if earthly leaders tell us to stop proclaiming the word of God. We have the command of God to keep preaching the word, so we go forward in that. It doesn't matter if people are opposed to the gospel message. We have the command of God to go forward into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So on the authority of God, we go forward. And that's the way it is. As Joshua comes to the people and begins to command the people to prepare to go forward, he has all the authority of God behind him in doing that. And the people recognize that this man is seeking to follow God. And so they will come in behind him and get behind him in this. So this is something that we need to bear in mind. Again, as we faithfully preach the gospel, we have every right and every authority from God to do so. When the preacher is standing behind the pulpit and he's faithfully proclaiming the word of God, he has every authority to do so. Now, there may be some things that are in there that you don't feel too good about, that you maybe disagree with. But as long as the preacher is faithfully proclaiming the word, then your disagreement isn't with the preacher, it's with the one who gave the word. Okay? As long as the preacher is faithfully proclaiming the word, he has every authority from God to do so. That's something that I was encouraged with in my early ministry training. You know, I'm not a natural public speaker. It's not something that I enjoyed doing at any time in the past. And it was very difficult when I first began doing ministry training. You know, I'd get up to do a little devotional on Wednesday night, and I'd be shaking like a leaf and thinking, what if I say something that offends someone, or what if somebody gets upset, and just constantly worried about what if I messed up, what if I said it wrong, what if someone took it wrong. And my pastor encouraged me. He said, as long as you're preaching the word of God, you have every authority to do so. Okay? Understand, it's not about you. It's about preaching God's word, faithfully proclaiming God's word. That's a big responsibility, because if you start misrepresenting the word of God, then God's hand is surely going to be against you. But as long as you are faithfully preaching the word, as long as you are faithfully proclaiming the gospel, you have every authority from God to do so. And hence we should not be intimidated by man. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 is another good verse that encourages us. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's a good verse for every preacher. To remember that we're commanded to be faithful to the word, but to preach it. And there's some key phrases there. It says, be instant. That's be faithful, be constant, in season, out of season. Do you know what that means? That means there's going to be times when it's not in season for you to preach the gospel to people. There's going to be times when people won't take the gospel well. You ever experienced that? You try and share the gospel with someone and they just, boom, no, they want nothing to do with it. Yeah, for them, the gospel was not in season. And you face a harsh reaction from them. But you know what the Bible says? You just continue, in season or out of season. Just continue. That's the way it should be. And that's the way it should be for the preacher behind the pulpit. Okay, sometimes there's some things as a preacher I think to myself before I say this. I think, now I wonder if someone will take this wrong. I wonder if someone will get offended by this. And it's easy to go, I'll just skip over that then. I'll just leave that bit out. You could do that, but you wouldn't be being faithful to the word. We have every authority to preach the word, to preach the gospel to every creature. And Joshua, he's a man who's going to take the authority of God seriously and say, God has given me this command, so I'm going to go forward in this command. God has told me to take the children of Israel from this side of Jordan to the other. That means we're going to have to get moving. And so he comes to the children of Israel with a command. Now, it's important to remember that the nation of Israel at this time was quite large. Okay, when they came up out of Egypt, they were already a large nation. That's why the Egyptians were trying to kill all the Israelite babies, because they were worried that the nation of Israel was getting too big. So they're already quite a large nation that came out of Egypt. Now they've been 40 years out of Egypt, wandering in the desert. And there's been a whole generation that has died off, but a whole new generation that has come up behind. And so, according to the book of Numbers, the rough estimate for according to the book of Numbers, it's a set number how many men went in to the land. It was 601,730. That's men. Okay? Men aged 20 and older, specifically. On top of that, you have women and children, which means the estimate of the total population is somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. That's a big group of people to have the responsibility of leading. And Joshua has just been with them for 40 years of whinging and whining in the desert. Do you think he was keen to take on that responsibility? I doubt it. Maybe I'm just more carnal than he is, but I would have not been impressed with the responsibility of leading, you know, 3 million whinging, whining Israelites out of a desert. Okay, but Joshua, as much as he might have been tempted to put this in the too hard basket, he was not going to do that. Joshua, he knew that the Israelites were fickle. He knew that they were inclined to complain. He knew that they were inclined to go away from God. He'd seen them. Remember, Joshua came down from the mountain with Moses after receiving the Ten Commandments, and he heard the noise in the camp. He said, "Is that the sound of war I hear?" And Moses said, No, that's not the sound of war. No. There's a bit of a celebration going on down here. There's a party happening. What's going on? And the people had created a golden calf and were worshipping a golden calf. Joshua had seen all of that. He'd been with Moses through all of that. When the nation of Israel turned against Moses and God sent the serpents in among the people, Joshua had seen that. When the nation of Israel wanted to return back to Egypt and said, "Hey, let's kill Moses and let's appoint another leader and we'll go back to Egypt," Joshua had seen that. He was there through all of this. He could have easily said, "Do you know what? I don't need this. I don't need the stress. I don't need the responsibility of leading a fickle-minded, disobedient, rebellious and griping and complaining people." But he didn't do that, because God had commanded him to take command and go forward, and he did that. He took his responsibility seriously before God and said, "We'll go forward then." With the authority of God and by the strength of God and by the hand of God, we will go forward. See, I've just listed all the things that Joshua saw that might have made him pack it in and go home. But Joshua also saw all the miracles of God all through the wilderness wanderings. He'd been there when they crossed the Red Sea. He'd been there when Moses smote the rock and water came out, enough water to provide for 2 to 3 million people. He'd been there when later Moses struck the rock again instead of speaking to it and water came out. He'd been there when the serpents went in among the people and God said to Moses, "Now you put the brazen serpent up on the pole there, and whoever looks at that, they'll be healed." And he'd seen that. Joshua had seen the hand of God. Joshua was a man of faith and a man of prayer. When Moses was trying to deal with a rebellious nation, it was Joshua who remained in the tabernacle outside the camp praying. And he knew the man Moses who said of God, he said, if you will not go with us, then don't take us up from this wilderness. He knew that as long as God was with him, they would go forward. That was the man, Joshua. We need leaders like that today. Leaders who not only can recognize that, hey, there are going to be hard times in the work of God. There are going to be times when you disagree with some people. And sometimes you're going to disagree about some serious things, more than just whether the cups go on the bottom shelf or the top shelf. Okay, sometimes you're going to disagree about some more serious things. But you're going to have to get used to it. You're going to have to learn as a Christian to be mature and say, look, you know, we need to work together on this. And I accept my part of responsibility in this disagreement. And I'm willing to work to go forward for God. But we need leaders who will be like Joshua as well, who will take command in the work. You know, there's different ministries in the church, and in a church this size, it's feasible that you might have one individual who just generally, you know, is in the position of authority over all the ministries, okay? It's feasible, but that person's probably going to start exhausting themselves. So what do we have? We have people who begin to take over certain roles. Not that they are out from under the oversight of the pastor, but that they take a leadership role in the ministry. And so you might have someone who says, oh, look, don't worry, pastor. I'll make sure that kitchen area is set up every Sunday. Or you might have someone else who says, oh, look, don't worry, I'll make sure that we're organized for hymns on this Sunday, you know, that sort of thing. People who are willing to take a leadership role. That's what we need. It's good for everybody to be involved in the ministry. And you might not be the sort of person who stands up and says, oh, I'll lead this ministry, but you might be the sort of person who can come alongside the one who is leading that ministry and just be a faithful help to them. Might be the case. That's your position, your role, as it were. But Joshua, he's a leader. Joshua is an organizer. Notice in verse 11 there, he commanded them to pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. There was some preparation needed, some organization, as it were. They were to prepare to depart. Now, it's good for us to have ministry leaders so that those who are more hesitant or reserved will have someone to follow, okay? That's important. And it is a tried and tested fact that people respond well when they see their leader going first. And that's what Joshua was attempting to do here. Is he's an organizer. He's showing people that he's going to step out in front, that he's going to go forward, that he's not going to sit back and just go, all right, yep, you'll get things organized, right? I'll just be an overall charge. Okay, that's not a good leader, okay? A good leader is someone who's willing to be part of the work with their own hands, and someone who's willing to help organize the work. And that's what Joshua did. It can be challenging to maintain this, but it's good for the leader of any particular ministry to be an active laborer, I'm encouraged, you know, on a Sunday when people are here to help set up the chairs. Okay, that's a real encouragement to me. But I also don't like to get to the point where I'm happy to just say, well, you all set everything up, and I'll just bring the word at the end of the day. Okay, I find that mentality is quite deplorable. We're all working together in this. That's how it should be. Doesn't matter if you're a ministry leader, you should be willing to put your own hands to the work and lead by example. That's the way it should be. Whatever it is that you're doing, if you're heading up a ministry, let's say we had a Sunday school, okay? Usually you have one Sunday school teacher who is the main Sunday school teacher, but that doesn't mean that that teacher says, all right, well, I'm the main person, so I'll just organise everybody else. No, you need to be active in that ministry. That's how you lead. But what were they to do? In organising, they were to prepare victuals. That refers to food. And probably more specifically, preserved foods. Now, this shows Joshua's foresight. Okay, he's looking ahead to what they're going to need going forward. And he's telling them they need to prepare food. Now, this is more important in this day and age than it would be in ours, okay? Because nowadays, if someone said prepare food, we're going on a bit of a trip, that wouldn't be too hard, because most of our trips only last for about, you know, at most 24 hours. You jump on a plane and you're there within a day. Okay, not much food to prepare. But when you're going to be going on a march, you're taking an army on a march to go and assault a city on the other side of the river there, you're going to need a bit more food than that. You're going to need some food that's going to last the journey. And so what they would do is they would have to make preserved foods, foods that will last. Who here likes beef jerky? I do. I like beef jerky. That's a good food. That's not something new either. That's something that people have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years, is actually drying out meats and smoking it to make it last for longer. That sort of thing. But that requires work. That's a process that you have to go through. And so Joshua is saying, look, we're going to move out in 3 days' time. So you've got to start getting ready now. You've got to start preparing now, okay? Because we're going to need to take some things with us if we're going to make it. That's the idea. He's got foresight in his leadership. He not only saw a potential problem, running out of food, but he also saw the need to prepare to avoid that eventual problem. Because we all know 100%, as soon as they ran out of food, all the blokes would be heading back, because we can't do without food. No way. But particularly men of war, if you're going to be doing some hard work, you're going to be fighting, you want to be well fed. So he's looking to the future and preparing for the future. He's looking ahead. That's what we have to do. We have to be looking for potential problems in the future, looking for potential needs that might arise that we could fulfill before they arise. That's good foresight, good planning. And then Joshua gives the order of direction for their departure. He says they were to pass over this Jordan. That is the point of entering into the land for the nation of Israel. Now understand that at this point in time, they were actually in part of the land that God promised Israel. Okay? Because the land that God promised Israel is much, much larger than what they have now. And it covered both sides of the Jordan River there. Which is why the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh on the west side of the river, they were already at home in possession of the land. So as we come down further into the passage, when Joshua is saying to them, now you're in your possession, but come over with us and help your brethren. That's because Moses gave those three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, he gave them land on the west side of the Jordan River. So they're in their part of the land now. But all the rest of the land is on the east side of the Jordan River. Okay, that's where Jerusalem is. That's where Bethlehem is, you know, those well-known cities. They're all on the east side, on the side of the Mediterranean Sea. So they need to cross over Jordan to enter into the land and begin to possess all of the land that God had for them. The Jordan River, it's about 251 kilometres long, and it flows roughly north to south in the land there and passes through the Sea of Galilee and drains into the Dead Sea. Yes, and we all know the Dead Sea is the sea that everybody floats in, don't we? That's the way we remember it. It's very salty. And in fact, the salt there is crusted so solidly on the wooden pier there and such. It looks like ice on a pole, but it's actually salt. And when you walk along the bottom of the Dead Sea, it's quite jagged edges because it's all just a salt crust layer on the bottom. It's not nice and cushy sand, but that's where the Jordan River empties out into. Okay, so they're actually a little bit north of the Dead Sea right now, on the west side of the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was the only real obstacle between Israel and the city of Jericho. We were discussing this a couple of times the other week, how that Israel is just on the west side of the Jordan River, and just the other side on the east is Jericho. That they're about to assault the city of Jericho. And as long as the Jordan River is there between Israel and Jericho, no doubt those in the city of Jericho thought, we're all safe. So no doubt it was a nasty surprise for them when God parted the Jordan River there and Israel crossed over in the space of about a night. And boom, the next morning, there's a whole army at your door knocking there, okay? Waiting to march around seven times and knock your walls down. Right? Exciting stuff. They were going to have to pass over the river in order to begin to possess the land. And now Joshua gives some instruction about this, specifically to the tribes that were going to remain on the west side. To Reuben, to Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he tells them in verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. So he's talking about they're at rest in their possession. And the Lord has given them this land that they were currently in. All right, so that's the context. He says, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Right? Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. So, these three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they had an agreement with Moses that they would have this portion of land on the west side of the river. But as part of that deal, okay, they agreed that their men of war would fight with their brethren to help them possess their lands as well. Okay, so essentially what it is Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh could have easily just taken the possession of the land on the west and just said, that's it, no fighting for us, you all have fun now, and just left it at that. But Moses said, no, you want this land, that's fine, but we're all going forward together, so you're going to help us fight in the land. And they said, okay, yep, we'll do that. No worries. But you just give us this portion on the west side of the river. So that was the agreement. And so Joshua reminds them of that agreement. And in verse 15, we're told that they would fight with their brethren until the Lord gave them rest in the land. So in other words, they would fight until the fighting was over and the nation of Israel was at peace. And so it should be for us. We should fight with our brethren. We should fight for our brethren. We should seek the welfare of our brethren. We're all in this together. Okay? We all go forward together for God. That's the way it ought to be. So when we see those around us in need of help, then we should help them. If our brethren are struggling, we should seek to support them. You know, it's been said that fellowship is two fellows in one ship. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? We're in it together. If the ship goes down, we go down together. Okay? We have to work together to keep the boat afloat. That's the way it is. So we need to fight together, to work together as a church, as brothers and sisters. And then in verses 16 to 18, we see the loyalty of the followers. So we've seen the leadership there, and now what's the response of the people to the leadership? And they answer Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only be strong and of a good courage. So they were loyal to Joshua. The response of the people was to get on board with the program. When the leader steps forward, he needs some people who will step forward with him. Come in behind and make sure that he is able to go forward and not on his own. Okay? And it puts me in mind of the illustration that my pastor used to use of sort of like the arena. And there's one man in the church down in the arena, and he's doing all the fighting and all the work, and the rest of the congregation is sitting there going, oh, I don't like the way he did that. I wouldn't have done it that way. But they won't get in and help him. They're happy to say, I wouldn't have done it that way, but they don't want to help in the work. We shouldn't be like that, okay? We should all be working together in the work. And so they were loyal. They stepped out behind their leader and said, hey, you go forward, we'll go with you. If God's going to be with you, that's all we need to know. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do, we will support that. That's the right attitude. As long as this church is doing the work of God, why wouldn't you want to be part of that? If the gospel is going forth from this place and being proclaimed to the those around us in the local area, why wouldn't you want to support that? If you can't support it on your feet, at least support it in the place of prayer. Why wouldn't you want to be part of that? If God's going to go with us, well, hey, don't leave me out. I want to get on board with that. That's the way it should be. That should be our attitude, our response. And so the people were ready to obey Joshua as he sought to lead the nation forward. What you don't see here is a bunch of people sitting around griping and complaining about the work ahead. Because remember, Joshua was asking of them that their mighty men would go forward before their brethren armed into battle. That means there's going to be a lot of hard work ahead. There's going to be some serious fighting, and some people are inevitably going to die. There's going to be some loss. And they could have said, nah, mate, we've got our little hut back here and we're going to stay here. No, mate, you're dreaming. We're not going with you. That's hard work. But they didn't. That's the Aussie mentality, you know. Ah, good on you, mate, should be right. Yeah, go. We're behind you, about 300 kilometres behind you. No, they were ready to go forward following the leadership of Joshua, who was following God. It's very important. The Apostle Paul mentions that. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah. If the leader's following God, well, then you follow the leader. That's the way it should be. And then they said, look, wherever you need us to go, we'll go there. We'll be there. Whatever you need from us, yeah, we'll do it. We'll go. The road ahead won't be easy, but we're going to go anyway. In fact, the path ahead looked impossible because there's a big river between us and where we're headed. How are we going to get across there? Sometimes the road ahead does look pretty impossible. Looks really hard and we think, how on earth are we going to get through this? And then God just shows us his hand and leads us through from one side to the other. Crossing over Jordan. You know, a lot of the old hymns, particularly the Negro spiritual hymns, depict crossing Jordan as being going into heaven. But biblically, that's not what it is. Biblically, crossing over Jordan is entering from the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness of sin and self, and entering into the victorious Christian life of faith and fight. That's what the children of Israel, pictorially, they were entering into the land of faith and fight. That's not heaven, friends. There's no fighting in heaven. But that's what was going on here. They were being called to enter into the land where they would have to go forward by faith and trust God to provide, to give the land to them. Trust God to provide victory over their enemies. Remember, they'd already seen the land and gone, whoa, there's some big fellas in this place. Look at those giants. And look at the walled cities. I mean, imagine coming to a fortified city and seeing that it's not only a fortified city, but it's a fortified city that's built with extra big stones and extra big gates and all that sort of thing. And you think, nah, not for us. No thanks. You're going to have to trust God. Those big obstacles, they don't fall down on their own. You need to trust God. And that's what they were being called to do. But they would go forward. And they said, if God's with us, if God's going to be with Joshua like he was with Moses, then we can do this. We can go forward. They would listen. Again, they said, all that thou commandest we will do, whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go, and according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. So, wherever you send us, we'll go. Whatever you tell us needs to be done, we'll do it. And when you give us instructions, we'll pay attention, we'll listen, and we won't sit around arguing amongst ourselves whether we think that was the best way to go forward. We won't sit around arguing amongst ourselves because we wouldn't have done it that way. Or whatever the case might be. They would just trust that Joshua was following God and say, all right, well, if that's where God's leading by the hand of Joshua, then that's where we're going. That's why it's called follow the leader. So what about us? When God has work for us to do, what's our response? Are we quick to get on board with it, or is it, you know, we're too busy with our own ideas? That's a big killer in church life, is when everybody's got their own ideas and they none of them match up. And nobody's willing to say, look, my idea is not that important to split the church over. It happens. You know, there have been churches that have split over some of the most ridiculous things. Matters of opinion. The colour of the paint in the ladies' bathroom. You think, really? Why would you get out of... Yep, the pastor's wife said, it's got to be this colour, and someone else said, it's got to be this colour, and all the ladies in the church went to one of those two groups, and they split the church over the colour of the paint in the ladies' bathroom. It sounds funny. Who would be that ridiculous? But people do that. They get really carnal about their own opinions and they're not willing to say, look, it's not that important. Whether the cups go on the bottom drawer or the top drawer, it doesn't really matter. Okay? What matters is that we're serving God and we're going forward for God. That's what really matters. So when God's leading, are you quick to follow, to get on board? What about when God speaks to you through his word? Remember, they said, hey, whatever God commands, we'll listen. We'll hearken to it. Hearken means more than just lend an ear to it and then say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Hearken means you hear it and you obey it. You follow through on it. So when God speaks to you through his word, do you hearken to it? Do you hear and obey, or do you only hear? And then say, nah, I've got my own way. I've got my own ideas. It's important. And then lastly, they didn't just say, wherever you send us, we'll go. Whatever you tell us, we'll listen. They said, and by the way, Joshua, you be strong now. We want to encourage you in this. We want to get behind you in this. In verse 17, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. They got behind the leader. They encouraged him to go forward as well. Some people do one or the other. They either get stuck into the work and forget to encourage others, or they spend all their time encouraging others and never get stuck into the work. Got to do both. You need to be active in the work and encourage others to be active also. That's what we need to do. Now, as I said, the church isn't some sort of a sports event where two people compete and the rest just sit back and say, yeah, go for it. Yeah. We're all supposed to be active. And the main concern of the people here was that it should be evident that God was with Joshua. And as long as God was with Joshua, that was all they needed to know. They were happy with that. They were content with the fact that God would be with Joshua. And then they said, let's go. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Let's go forward. Again, that was a fair expectation, by the way, that they should expect that God would be with Joshua, because if the leader isn't following God, then he has no right to expect you to follow him. If the leader isn't following God and doesn't have the authority of God to go forward, then why should he expect you to follow him? All right? That makes sense. But by the same logic, if he is following God and he has the authority of God, the command of God to go forward, then he can expect and should expect that you will be there behind the work to encourage and to support the work. Again, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Yeah? I'm going to follow Christ, okay? Christ is before me. I'm following him. Now you follow me, all right? We're going in that direction. We're following Christ. That's a reasonable expectation. So they encourage Joshua to be strong in the work of the Lord. And it is a great blessing to those in any ministry, leading in any ministry, or even supporting in a ministry. It's a great blessing when others come along and encourage them in that. It is. Sometimes you might feel like you're the only one trying to accomplish anything for God. That's when you're most likely to give up. When you feel like you're the only one in the work, that's when you're most likely to give up. Now, I'm not looking for you to come and pat me on the back after the service, okay? That's not what this is about. Okay, I'm not trying to win any sympathy here. But we all need encouragement from time to time. All of us, we need to be encouraged from time to time in the work. Because it is work. But it's a good work. It's a work that has a lot of blessings that go along with it. But as I said, you know, there are going to be times when we don't all get along on every point. There are going to be times when we go through difficulties. We're going to have to just work through it together and continue to go forward for God. So, again, we don't advocate blind, unthinking loyalty to any man, but when God has given us leaders in the ministry who are seeking to follow the will of God, we ought to get behind that and support the work. And we need more people who are willing to take on leadership roles in the church. We need people who are willing to step out in front of others and lead the way. It's important. Particularly those who've been around a bit longer, who know how things go, how things ought to be. You can be an example to those who are newer to the church, to those who are not so familiar with how things go, and you can put your foot forward and say, I'll lead the way in this, and you just follow me and you'll get the hang of it. Right? You'll learn the ropes, don't worry. But we need people who are willing to take on a role of leadership in the church. And again, you know, the question is, are you a member who is willing to do that? Who is willing to take a step forward and be a leader in a ministry? Or are you someone who at the very least is coming alongside those who are leading in the ministry and say, I want to help with this. I want to see the work go forward. Very important. And if you're not a member at all, well, you can see me after the service and I'll sign you up. No. I'd encourage you to be part of the work here. It's very important. All right, we'll leave it there for this morning and we'll close in a word of prayer and then we'll sing a hymn together. Let's pray.